I first heard about the Piermonte School in, I would say it was 2003, and that was just through the grapevine, through other conductors who I knew, other young classical musicians who were auditioning and applying for various summer festivals and people who had gone. And I just kept hearing the Piermonte School come up again and again and again, and people were, you know, just sort of ecstatic about it and said it's this amazing thing where you get to spend 6 weeks of the summer surrounded by the most beautiful natural wilderness and these wonderful people and making great music. And people, like I said, were just sort of over the moon about it. So I applied, and I first came to the school in 2004, the summer, and it was everything that everybody said that it would be. So I came back for the next 2 years. So I was a student at the Piermonte School from 2004 to 2006. And then I had some other summer opportunities come up the next summer. So I was away from it for a little bit, but my connection remained strong. And in 2009, I returned to the school, but this time as a staff member. I became the conducting associate, which is sort of the, I don't know, it's like the head counselor almost. It's a person who helps to manage and run the orchestra and the library and is sort of a liaison between the administration of the school and the musical side of the school. And so I did that for 5 summers. And then, once again, you know, I found myself with other opportunities that I wanted to pursue. But, you know, down East Maine is just not a place that you can kind of get out of your system. And so the opportunity came up in 2016 for me to return to the school, this time as a composer in residence, which was a new idea for the school. It was something that they hadn't done before, but it was a very natural fit because all the while I had been studying conducting and orchestral music at the school and playing in the orchestra as a viola player, I was pursuing my career as a composer. And a lot of my early works were written for friends and for the orchestra at the Piermonte School. And I was so lucky that they sort of let me have the reins and put on some of my music at their kids' concerts and at their chamber concerts. And so there was this great opportunity for the school to partner with Acadia National Park. And so they commissioned a piece from me that I titled Acadia Fanfare, and we premiered it in the summer of 2016. And now, once again, I am coming back to the school this summer, 2018, to premiere a new piece, a new kids' piece. It's called Carnival of the Animals, Maine Edition. And so it's the same idea behind the original Carnival of the Animals by Saint-Saëns, which, you know, has, you know, the kangaroo and the elephant and donkey. But in this case, I'm writing about Maine-specific, really sort of Acadia-specific animals.
Okay, so already know what one of them is going to be, right?
Well, what's that?
Well, I mean, it can't be Maine without a lobster.
Oh, yeah. The lobster's in there, for sure.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, we've got the lobster, the puffin, the whale, the eagle, black bears. A lot of these, I coordinated the ideas with Jerry Monteux, who is Pierre Monteux's grandson, who is an amazing wildlife photographer who works all over the state of Maine. And so I wrote him a message, and I said, you know, I'm writing this Carnival of the Animals of Maine. What does it have to have in there? And he sent me a list of like 20 animals, and I kind of whittled it down to 10.
Was he the one who decided that one of the animals needed to be mosquito?
Oh, no, that was me. Mosquito, I mean, because, you know, Mainers have that, you know, maybe it's just they say something they say to tourists, but I mean, I've always heard, you know, that the mosquito is the state bird of Maine. And at least that's what it seems like, you know, during the summers up there. So, yeah, I really wanted to have the mosquito. I mean, they're like, you know, prehistoric creatures up there. They are sort of the size of a small bird, it seems like.
Well, it would have to have been either the mosquito, the tick, or the black fly.
Right. So, yeah, you know, all would be great contenders.
But the mosquito won. That's just a fantastic idea. And I understand that's premiering at one of the concerts this summer, correct?
That is correct. You know, the Montu School has this annual tradition of putting on a family concert. And the idea is that it's free for the community, for kids, and for any adults who bring a kid. And it's usually sort of a potpourri. Now, when I was the conducting associate at the school, I started writing pieces specifically for these family concerts. And I would sort of write these storybook pieces. So like one of the ones that I wrote was called Cinderella Goes to Music School. And that was all about a young viola player who goes off to a conservatory. And she's, you know, her roommates are a flute player and an oboe player. And they're just really terribly mean to her. And they're always telling her that she can't play in time or in tune. And, you know, there's a concerto competition and she wins it, but she leaves her music on the stage. And so then these other instruments have to try and fit into that, you know, shoe, but they can't play it because the viola is right in the middle and it's too high for the cellos and too low for the violins. So
you're very creative, William.
Well, you know, I'm a composer. I mean, this is what we do. We come up with these projects. And so, you know, that's, I guess that's something that I would say about how the Montu School inspired me creatively is, you know, I had this opportunity to conduct a family concert. So, you know, there were years where I did Peter and the Wolf, but then there were years where I thought to myself, okay, you know, I've done Peter and the Wolf now, and I've done it a couple other times. What can I bring to this that would be new? And what can I bring to this that would fit the goals and the opportunities associated with this concert? So, you know, when you're a composer, it's a little bit like solving a puzzle. You know, you've got this certain set of parameters and you want to bring it to life. You want to bring some kind of musical voice to life as well as you can. And so I had this great orchestra with all of my friends and you know, I could kind of workshop it with them and we could read the story to each other, you know, at these kind of bowl sessions that we would have in a cabin and say like, oh, you know, so what's Cinderella going to be? You know, she's going to play this and what are the steps is she going to play? And so it became a very collaborative process. And I mean, that's some of the magic of the Montu School for me. That's something how it's been a part of my legacy and the way that I think artistically is in these terms of collaborations, in terms of trying to fit the glove to the hand of what you have on offer. Yeah, so that's how it's influenced my life as both a conductor and a composer.